So we're not going to have time for a group discussion tonight, but I invite you all to share your reflections with each other after the service and at dinner tonight, if you're going to dinner. But tonight, I'm going to continue to reflect on the book of Ecclesiastes this week and then next week as well. Koheleth, who is the self-identified, which is the self-identified name of the book's author, asks how we can live in a world of corruption that seems hopeless. How can we live in this present moment and find fulfillment? And these are questions we might very well ask ourselves today. Koheleth seems to understand the nature of the world, I think, similar to what I do. In the translation we heard today, Koheleth says that God has made everything in harmony with the divine. Other translations say everything was made fair or beautiful. But all of these interpretations of the Hebrew imply a goodness to the world. And then Koheleth says that God has put eternity in our souls, in our hearts. In other words, there is something of God, the divine presence within each of us. The goodness of the world is also a part of our own inherent nature. And yet it seems like something has gone wrong. Koheleth can't quite figure it out. We look at the state of things and we find crime and corruption where we should find justice and goodness. And despite the God that lives within us, despite the fact that we live within God, we fail to understand why things happen as they do, fail to understand what we can do about it. Now, with this lack of understanding, I think it implies some further questions. What is the nature of God? Can't God do something about evil? And of course, these are questions of theodicy. Why do bad things happen to good people? A question humanity has struggled with for millennia, a question born out of our need for meaning in life, out of our need to make sense of life. It's also a question we're not going to suddenly solve in a satisfactory way for everyone tonight. But my basic understanding and approach to that question is that although we are divine beings ourselves, we tend to deny our divine goodness and thereby corrupt our own nature and the world around us. And God can't swoop down from some cloud and make us all suddenly behave generously and lovingly instead of selfishly. But what God can do is walk with us in our wanderings and in our struggles and try to lead us to healing and to wholeness as we rediscover our true loving good nature. Now, Koheleth sees things a little bit differently. Koheleth seems to believe that perhaps God can just come and fix things, but for some reason isn't. And they don't understand why. And further, they realize that their own power to change anything is limited. And so Koheleth wonders, if God isn't fixing it and we can't seem to fix it, then how do we live in a world that seems corrupt and makes no sense? How do we face this present moment? And perhaps the first thing is to trust in the divine power that is the foundation of everything. Trust God that the world can be healed. Trust God that we can find our own healing and wholeness, however that is done. Koheleth says, I told myself that God will judge both the good and the corrupt at the appointed time for every issue and for every deed. They are trusting that God will somehow, some way, at some time, make things right. And I think the important part there, though, is that they believe that it can and will be made right. Despair happens when we no longer believe a better future is possible, when we lose our hope. And so we need a vision of God's kingdom, life lived in peace and justice with love and hope. And I think we can see that that is certainly possible on a small scale. It's possible in individual lives. It's possible in small communities. So why can't it happen on a large scale in nations and across the world? I think we have to trust that it is possible. And how it happens is through the healing of each individual person. God walks with us and works within us to help us discover our own authentic, loving self. And as we each draw closer to that true self, we begin to heal and find wholeness. And then we can bring our own divine flames together to make a greater light, a just and good world. This is our human journey. This is our spiritual journey to find a healing and a wholeness. But it's a journey that takes a lifetime and maybe more than a lifetime. It has its ups and downs. And Koheleth offers us some of the things that keep them going, even in the face of the evil that they see in the world. In the best-known section of Ecclesiastes, Koheleth offers a poem reminding us that there is a season for everything, a time for every matter. And that word time there in the Hebrew isn't strictly temporal, but it refers to a situation or an occasion. In other words, there are situations for crying and situations for laughing. And I think within this poem, there are several nuggets of wisdom which can be helpful for us. First, it accepts us to accept our feelings. There are appropriate times to mourn and appropriate times to dance. And they might come in the same day or the same hour. I think every memorial service I've ever attended has included both tears and laughter. And both are okay and both are good. Accept and honor our feelings. And second, there are no absolutes. We can't say we should always be silent or we should always offer our opinion. There are appropriate times for both. And perhaps the tricky part is discerning what is appropriate for the present moment. Every situation is different. Context matters. And that need for discernment is perhaps another way to practice putting our trust in God. We can read the room. We can discern how people are feeling, how they're acting, calling upon our own experience to know what's right. And maybe we can also offer a prayer and listen to that still small voice within that's telling us what to do. And then trust in God as to the outcome. All we can do is our best. And if it doesn't turn out, we can learn from our mistakes. And I think sometimes when something initially is difficult, it turns out to be just what we needed. So trust in God. And third, there can be a bit of comfort in knowing that all things change. In difficult times, times to hurt or tear down, to cry or mourn, we can know that these times will not last forever. We can experience these times knowing that God walks with us, that as long as we keep walking, there will again be times to heal, to build up, to laugh, and to dance. Even within the difficult times, we can find times of joy, instances when the joy of a birth, for example, comes while we're still grieving for a lost loved one. And this whole idea of a time for every season seems to me to be very Tao-like. The 76th chapter of the Tao Te Ching reads, "When first born, we're small and weak. The living are soft and flexible. When we die, we become hard and stiff. The dead are rigid, unmoving. The greenery, grasses, plants, and trees growing are tender and supple. Dead are dry and brittle. And so the strong and hard go along with dying, the open to change and flexible with living. When an army becomes inflexible, it suffers defeat. A tree that won't bend easily breaks in storms. The hard and strong will fall. The open-hearted prevail." Both Ecclesiastes and the Tao Te Ching are asking us to live in harmony with life instead of fighting against it. The tree that can bend doesn't break in a storm. And I think part of this bending is knowing our limitations and not having unreasonable expectations in life. Koheleth knows that they don't understand why the world is the way it is. They haven't been able to make sense of it. And they know their own ability to affect the change they want to see is limited. And when we have unreasonable expectations, it leads to disappointment. For example, if we expect our relationships to be perfect, that we're never going to have an argument or disagreement with a close friend or partner, we're going to end up disappointed. When we know the limitations of our skills, our talents, and our power, we're better able to take on the present moment, whatever happens. And we can approach life more maturely and effectively. When the inevitable argument comes with our friend, we'll realize it isn't necessarily our fault or their fault. None of us are perfect. And so we can deal with a disagreement more easily. This isn't to say that we should not have expectations at all, though. I think we should always expect more from ourselves. That keeps us learning. It keeps us growing. So how do we know what is a reasonable and unreasonable expectation? Well, one article suggests that an expectation might be unreasonable if we're constantly stressed, let down, or frustrated when something doesn't go as planned, or if we're always finding things to criticize in ourselves and others, or if we fixate on details and insist on perfection, or if we find it very hard to accept how something turns out if it deviates from our own personal vision, or we get irritated and resentful when others disagree with us. In a way, it boils down to putting our trust in God and not being overwhelmed if and when something goes wrong. Think of the serenity prayer. Oh God, give us the serenity to accept what cannot be changed, the courage to change what can be changed, and the wisdom to know the one from the other. And when we can do this, we free ourselves to enjoy life in this present moment instead of being stressed out about all the things that we can't really control anyway. The Koheleth believes, and I would agree, that God gave us this life not so we'd be constantly angry and fearful, but so that we might live and enjoy what we have. Koheleth writes how good and lovely it is to eat and drink and find satisfaction in everything we do, to embrace everything that comes to us. And everything here means the easy times and the difficult times. Embrace it all. Everything has its place and its time. Everything is an experience to be savored. It doesn't matter what our situation is. There are always blessings to be found if we open ourselves to them. We don't need wealth or lots of possessions to find happiness. For Koheleth, the wisdom that comes from God is worth more than any amount of money or power. When we are connected to the divine power, when we're truly living life, taking pleasure in all of its blessings, then joy and fulfillment can be found in whatever we have right now, right here in this present moment, whatever is happening. However, when greed and selfishness take over, when wealth and power become our gods, we lose sight of our humanity. We lose sight of our true good and loving selves and become mere objects. In today's gospel reading, Jesus warns us to stay awake and alert. And often Jesus' words are understood as a warning to always behave because God is coming to judge us. The words are used to frighten. But I think these words can also be heard very differently. Taking alongside Ecclesiastes, I wonder if Jesus is saying we don't know what's going to happen in the future. We can't control the future, so stay awake. Don't sleep, but live life to the fullest. Do what you're supposed to do as a being of love. Do what fulfills your soul and trust God that everything else will take care of itself. When we give in to things like the pursuit of wealth and power, it's like falling asleep. We stumble through life doing things that we shouldn't probably be doing. We live in denial of our true, good, loving self. So wake up and stay awake to the divine being of love that is within each of us. Put our trust in God and live life to the fullest, eating, drinking, enjoying the blessings, loving God and neighbor. Embrace whatever comes with the love of God in our heart. Accept everything in its season. Become our authentic divine self. And when we live in this way of love and gratitude, connected to the divine power, ready to bend but never break, we can face the present moment without fear or anxiety, for we know that we are loved and blessed by the God who walks with us, who lives within us, and within whom we live. Amen.